Hello there, and welcome to the podcast. It's John Markar here, and I thought I'd just jump in with a very quick but very important message that I wanted to share with you before you delve into this episode of the Driven Chat podcast. This podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now come to an end. But don't worry, I'm not going to stop you from listening to this episode or from catching up with the 185 episodes that we've recorded in this format. I just wanted to let you know that if you're looking for our new episodes recorded after December 2023, then you'll need to seek out our new podcast, The Driven Podcast. You can find The Driven Podcast in all the usual podcast platforms, including, chances are, the one that you're listening to this one on right now. So please do enjoy this episode, share it with a friend by all means. But when it's done, don't forget to search for the new podcast, The Driven Podcast, and subscribe to the new format to hear the new stuff. To make life easy, head on over to the Driven website via driven.site. There you will find links through to the new podcast, including links to your preferred podcast platform. And hey, whilst you're there, why not check out everything else we do, including hand-picked automotive news stories, car and bike reviews, video features, and even more. For now, though, I'll let you enjoy this episode, and I will remind you again at the end of the episode, but for the future reference, this message is approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds long. That's 6 clicks on the 15-second skip button. Enjoy!
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's Driven Chat podcast, where this week, Andy J and I talk to Lotus Managing Director Matt Windle, and Amy gets back from Sri Lanka.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
My name is John Markar, and the laughing figure that you can hear in your ears is Amy Shaw. Hello, Amy Shaw.
Hello, John Markar.
How are you? Because I'm under the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that you've only just got off an aeroplane from somewhere quite far away.
Yes. It took me 3 days to get there instead of like one.
Ah.
And then I was there for a total of 4 days, and then I flew back again. And then when I flew back, I woke up, set my stopwatch on my phone. The next time I put my head on a pillow was 41 hours later.
Ah.
So I was quite tired. So I slept well last night. But yeah, I've just been to Sri Lanka for a few days with a job, which is very good fun, but really interesting because I was working for a Mercedes Classic magazine.
Yeah.
And so basically we were out there photographing this. I was envisioning it to be a road trip, a classic Mercedes road trip, because that's kind of what I thought was going to be. We had three or four cars and we were going to drive around Sri Lanka, basically. And then I got there and I was a little bit disappointed because they put them onto transporters to get them everywhere. Oh. I just didn't really quite expect that. But then I started to learn and understand why that this was the case, because basically there's an import ban on anything in Sri Lanka over 3 years old. So every classic car that's there,
really,
yep, is the only it either got bought new when it was there, or it's either come in slightly illegally, as in boxes of bits and been built there.
Way.
And so every classic car that is there is actually genuinely quite rare. All the parts, the cost of parts to rebuild anything or restore these things is extortionate, really, really expensive. And then, like, apparently there's one like street in Colombo where there's all these like machine car bit shops, basically. And you can't ring them up and say, hey, have you got part number for Mercedes, whatever. You have to go in. They don't have like street addresses either. You have to go in with, say, like, I don't know, a bit of a rubber something or other that you've already taken off the car. And you go into them and you say, have you got a replacement one of these?
Or can you make one?
And they'll either be like, yeah, but they have no idea what they have or what it's for.
Wow.
And then if they haven't, you go to the next shop and you go and do the same. And yeah, they literally have, it's fascinating. And then if you've found somewhere that does it, you have to then like pin that location on your phone or just remember which shop you went into, because there's quite a lot of them, and then go back and pick it up like the next day or whatever. It's really interesting.
Wow.
So yeah, I was doing that.
It was a bit of a whistle stop
tour, wasn't it? You were kind of in and out within a short space of time.
Yeah. So, quite tired, but saw a lot of Sri Lanka. And also, the roads are... Actually, I was surprised how good most of the roads were, but some of the roads were not as good. And that was another reason for the lack of actual travel. But what's really great about Sri Lanka as well is, guess how many tuk-tuks there are in Sri Lanka?
In total?
Yeah.
409.
Is that 409?
Yeah, 409.
3 million.
What?
That's
3 million.
3 million tuk-tuks.
Right. I was close.
Well, I was waiting to see if you were going to say 409,000.
3 million? In Sri Lanka. Million. But isn't Sri Lanka the size of, like, the Isle of Wight?
Island. It's the size of Ireland. It's not, like, genuinely. It's
3 million?
Yeah. They are everywhere. It's fascinating. And what's quite funny is that on the backs and sides, like, each tuk-tuk driver puts their own, like, pimps their own tuk-tuk to make it interesting. And they have what's called tuk-tuk wisdom on it. And so, like, in the back window, there might be things like... racing Jaguar, like literally stuck in the back window of a tuk-tuk or something like that. Or my life, my choices on the back somewhere.
I have that written on the back of my car, to be fair. Yeah. My life, my choices. Leave me alone.
Honestly, it's hilarious. So that was quite fun looking out for tuk-tuk wisdom.
Amazing. And if people, are these photographs, you were there to take photographs, I
was,
I assume.
Yes.
Are these going to be published anywhere, or they is this will? Such a secret thing?
No, it's going to. It is going to go in. I don't even know what the magazine is. I think it's a Mercedes Classic Club magazine.
Oh,
I don't
cool.
actually know. I need to probably find that out. But it was.
So you know where to send the invoice.
Well, I get my PA to do it.
How she's changed, dear listener, since we began.
So I don't know
she
where
has
it
a PA
goes.
Now.
Oh dear, but yeah, so no, if not, I mean, I'll definitely put them on social media when I'm allowed to post about them. So, yeah, but it was amazing. I nearly got not attacked by a monkey. It just was, I thought it was going to jump on my head. It didn't, thankfully. I haven't had my rabies jab.
Right. Can we start just sending a camera crew to follow you around wherever you go? Because I feel like there's more opportunity to capture your life. I think the listeners are nodding. They're nodding. Go, yes, I want to see Amy nearly get attacked by a monkey.
I did scream a little bit.
Well,
yeah,
there we are. There's the opening to a podcast that I wasn't expecting. And also, in other news, before we do dive into that chat with Matt Windle, you've recently bought a new car.
I have, yes.
And this is a car I feel like the world needs to know about.
Yes. Well, I did have a Range Rover Vogue.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Well, we bought it as like a filling in the gap tow vehicle for, towing the U-types around. And then I had it for 3 months, and for probably the last month and a half, it was a bit poorly. So we fixed it, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to get rid of it. So we sold the Range Rover.
Oh.
And I know, buy Range Rover. And then we're trying to think about what to get as like our long distance. Because at the minute, when I went down to Heathrow, to Sri Lanka and back again, twice in the end, I was in my classic Mini.
Oh.
Poor thing. So
it's quite a drive.
A drive. And so I did need something a bit more. You know, so I thought to myself, well, it's going to have to be a slightly boring car to what budget allows. So I've ended up buying I can't even remember the year.
Don't forget to pause for a dramatic effect.
Drum roll, imagine it.
Yeah.
2009, I think, or 8, one of them. Jaguar X-Type, a shooting brake is what we're going to call it.
Wow.
I know, right?
She's got a PA and she drives a Jag.
I just need someone to drive the Jag for me.
Yeah.
And then I've really made it.
Wow.
But the Jaguar is currently, I don't know if currently is still the word, unnamed. I name all of my vehicles.
You do? Yeah. Yes.
So this one has been unnamed. I did go to Instagram to ask if people wanted to help me name it, because I couldn't really think of anything that interesting myself.
Mm.
So the number plate, just to give you an idea, is KN08. There you are. It's 2008. KN08WZZ.
Ooh.
Yes. So if you were to read that, it would be basically... Knob Whiz.
Right. Well, there's the name.
Well, so I'll just go. I may as well ruin the surprise. I think I'm going to name it Dr. Nobwiz.
Dr. Nobwiz.
Could you imagine a doctor driving this car around, like some old boy with a tweed jacket and that? So I'm like, Dr. Nobwiz.
Well, there we are.
If you have a better idea, dear listeners, please
send it
let
in
me
quickly,
know.
For goodness sake.
It's nearly going to be christened that.
I mean, we're about to dive into an interview with the managing director of a car company, and we've just used the words Dr. Nobwiz. So sorry, Matt. This is not what I had in mind.
I am sorry. Maybe I should have paused and left it as like a closing one. But I mean, do you want to hear some suggestions that other people?
I'd love to. Don't read out mine.
Okay.
Because that will definitely lower the tone.
Okay. A lot of people have said Mick, obviously.
Mick
Jagger.
Oh right. Okay.
Get it.
Sorry.
Get on it.
I missed that completely.
A lot of people originally I was going to call it Jeremy or Clarkson or something because obviously the
Jag.
Yeah, but then I thought that seems a bit too honest. I've had multiple people say Janet, and I thought why?
Janet the Jag.
And then honestly, Janet, she looks like a Janet to me. And then we've had our lovely videographer for Driven Chat, Rich, say looks like a Janet. I've not met an unreliable Janet. I was like, that's a good point, actually, yeah. I had a few people say Bagheera from The Jungle Book, because that was the Jag in The Jungle Book, the Jaguar.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
But then I thought... Very,
people are actually putting thought into this.
Yeah, but then I thought, I can't spell that, so...
Bagheera, yeah. I mean, it was written down in a book.
I know, I've only ever watched a film, so... I won't be able to do that one, I don't think.
But did you say you think you've got a name? Oh, well.
I feel it's not set in stone yet. Okay. I'm still undecided. So, lots of Jasper, Jeff's, Maggie, Margaret. Someone said Lizzie.
Margaret.
But
I like Margaret.
I kind of feel like it needs to have some form of meaning behind it or some kind of...
No, I think Margaret the Jag is the best name that you could possibly come up with.
Well, I mean, the Queen... used to drive one, exactly the same.
Did she?
Yep. There's a photo. Somebody sent me a photograph and of Queenie driving it. So then they were like, what about Lizzie or Elizabeth? And I was like, fit for a queen. Could definitely do that. But no, so I still don't know about that. But then multiple people have said Tarquin.
Tarquin.
And I don't know why. Because, is that a reference to something?
Don't know.
No, I don't know either. Anyway, we've got Jerry, Paddy... Desmond, Otis, Cyril, Gordon. There's no kind of.
No,
like,
I think we peaked at Margaret.
I did think we peaked at Margaret.
The Jag.
Really. Yeah, they are probably the most. A lot of people like call it Mr. Mondeo because there's a lot of Mondeo bits in it. But Mondeos are reliable, good little things. You don't seem to be. So, are they not? I thought they were like.
How many Mondeos of that age do you still see on the road?
At least one.
And there we go. There is one. There is one left.
But yes, no, if anybody does have any better ideas, please do tell me because it's not set in stone yet.
Yeah, ping them over, podcast@drivenchat.com or slip into the DMs and start your message with, I think Jamie's? I think Amy's Jag.
Maybe that's what I call it,
Jamie. Because it's Jag and Amy. Well, have I just come up with it?
Have you just done it? Yeah.
Jamie. Yeah, start your message or email with, I think Jamie... I think Amy's Jaguar should be called, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Right, now let's dive into an actual conversation, a grown-up conversation. You weren't in for this one, which is a shame. But myself and Andy were, and we sat down with Matt Windle, the MD of Lotus. The second time we've had him on the podcast, the first time we had Matt on the podcast, he got an amazing response from all of you lovely listeners.
He's such a lovely man. Whenever I see him, he always takes the time to come and, we've been walking from a part of an event to another and he walks with me and we have a little chat. And I've only met him a couple of times. And he's a really nice bloke. Looking forward to this.
Good guy. Yeah, we're big fans of Matt. We're big fans of Lotus, as you all know. And of course, the reason that we were there on the day, as well as talking to Matt, we were able to, myself, Andy, and a couple of our film crew, we were there to film the new Radford driving around for the first time. Now, this is under quite strict embargo, so we can't actually show you anything yet. But rest assured that we have filmed some really, really cool stuff and photographed some really, really cool stuff. And as soon as we're allowed to show it, we will. And that's probably going to be close to Christmas. So the call to action that I'm gently pushing you in towards here, listener, is make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel because that's where you're going to see it. So if you just search for Driven Chat on YouTube or I believe now if you do youtube.com/Driven Chat, you'll go straight into our channel, hit that subscribe button, hit the little bell, and then the minute that amazing video goes live, you will be able to enjoy it.
Woohoo.
Woohoo! For now, let's dive in to Matt Windle.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital.
I'm Andy J, sat with John Markar in a very fancy place with a very special guest, a guest who you may have heard from before, and our feedback about his appearance on the show previously from you guys has been nothing short of delightful, I think is the accurate word.
I'd agree with John. Absolutely, yeah.
Would you like to set the scene, because we are in a hot, sunny space in a cold November?
I was going to say, it sounded like you were going to sell something very untrue, but we are in a warm, sunny, we're at a sun trap in an office overlooking a motor racing circuit, or maybe not fair to call it a motor racing circuit, but certainly a test handling circuit in Hethel. It's Lotus. We're at Lotus. And the office that we're sat in is the office of Managing Director Matt Windle.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Matt.
Nice to see you again.
The secondary office, actually. Yes. Office number two.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Matt, I mean, one of the things, look, we've got loads to talk about, but one of the things that we can share with you is that when you came on the show last time, the feedback from our listeners was, what a lovely, normal man. You know, what an approachable, thoughtful, considered human being. I think people assume bosses of massive companies like this one are untouchable, have no feelings, and are not one of us. So you're one of the people.
I'm blushing now.
That's the sunshine. That's okay.
No, I mean, it was great having you guys here. I think it was quite a unique experience, wasn't it, really, to be behind a global launch of a new sports car. They don't come around all the time. And it really made the day as well. I mean, we had a lot of fun together. I mean, the weather was horrendous. And I just met Andy in the car park and went, this is the first time I met you when it isn't raining. Because we did meet... This sounds a bit dodgy, but we did meet in a car park. We did meet in a car park just outside Guildford a couple of months ago, just to hand over some paintings that Andy had sorted out. And it was raining then as well, wasn't it? We were laughing about it. So.
Yeah, but weirdly, it was only raining when you arrived. I'd been stood looking at the Burger King outside thinking, this is lovely, and then you arrive and it starts raining. So I'm not sure it's just me. I think it's the combination of the two.
And when I left as well, you know, I definitely saw Andy heading towards the Burger King. So these rumours about a diet are just not true.
as my waistline. So I keep wrestling with this thing because we're closing it on Christmas. And I'm like, I know I've got to lose about a stone, but it's also Christmas.
Yeah, we're into the season now.
Just do I just say January, lose two stone? Do I just live with it? And, you know, like, I used to grow a beard for Christmas and have a Christmas beard. Now I've very much got a Santa gut. So I'm just going to keep going, I think. You know, then January, I'll be like all gym users. Be really committed for 3 or 4 days, and then that'll be it. I'm saying this looking at Matt, who runs marathons just for the hell of it.
Well, I don't run marathons, but I do like running around, so it's, yeah.
Well, you do the tough mudder stuff, don't you?
I did the duathlon in London, which was just after the Hampton Court show, and the one thing I learned from that is do not stand at a motor show for 3 days and then try and do a duathlon afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I was dead. Yeah. I was dead. And the funny thing was, I know Alex Goy is a really good friend of yours.
Yes, yeah.
I got chatting to him. And I showed him the course, and I won't repeat what he said. But basically, he sort of said, "You're in trouble," and yeah. I laughed. Yes, I was in trouble. I hurt a lot the next day when I was doing that.
He's so. A top man, actually, Alex.
He's brilliant. Yeah.
I imagine his put down was desperately eloquent, Blackadder-esque. I think of any speech.
Yeah, it was direct. I think it got me worried, and he was right.
Matt, let's just reflect on. I mean, this is a crazy year. You know, we're coming out of a pandemic which is still kind of lingering in the background. We know there's also the Brexit impact, which we're now starting to see the real ripple effect from in terms of day-to-day lives, never mind what's on the shelves and delivery time for things that you're buying to human cost and so on. But in amidst all of this, you are running a massive business which, prior to Brexit, prior to the pandemic, if you'd looked at those two, you'd have seen that as the perfect storm for disaster. And yet somehow, Lotus, to me at least, are coming out on top. What's it really been like this year? Never mind the start of the pandemic last year. Let's talk about just 2021. What's it been like for you?
Difficult. I think it's... I've got a great exec team around me now. So we work very closely. And it's a bit of a game of whack-a-mole, really. Something pops up and then something comes down. And I mean, literally just before we came in here, somebody stopped me and said, oh... the boat that we're expecting for parts to be here on the 8th of December that we need is still in Canada. It's kind of, it's turned the wrong way out of Los Angeles or something. And you, just like, I don't really know what.
What's that about? That's not, you can't blame Brexit or pandemic for that. That's just moron, isn't it?
I was going to say,
gone the wrong way.
I think this year particularly, I mean, the pandemic's been awful. And, you know, thankfully, we managed to protect the staff. We put a bubble around manufacturing. And through the second half of 21, we've been able to relax that and start travelling and people coming in as well. But we've still been really careful. We're monitoring it. We had a call today just on the status of staff and the well-being and things. So it's really important. So I think, but ironically, we were really worried about the end of the Evora lease exige and what it would do for us and stuff like that. To be honest, it's kind of protected us against what's going on, because the demand has been 100% for those cars, because people know after the end of this year they can't buy the car. Well, you can't buy a car now, but nobody will get delivered them. So ironically, that what we thought would be, I suppose, a really difficult PR message, really difficult emotional thing as well, it's kind of protected us a little bit, because we've been, okay, for the first time in Lotus's history, we've had a 95% order book complete. Amazing. For over 6 months. So we've been able to order materials and we've been ordered to do this. And then on top of that, the launch of Amira back in July, which you did an amazing job.
Loved it.
And the demand for that car is just, well, it's far exceeded any expectations we had. Going very strong in the UK, very strong in the US, very strong throughout the rest of the world. And we're now just starting the European tour as well. So it was in Belgium last night. So we'll see the European demand come up as well. And China's really keen on it. So
what do you think that, because for me it seems obvious, it's a beautiful looking car. It's the last ICE engine, your ICE engine doesn't sound right, does it? But it's the last ICE vehicle you guys are producing. It still comes, I come back to the looks, it is stunning. I mean, it's just such a great looking car. But what do you think the secret is? Why has it been so successful in terms of uptake?
I think people know it's a Lotus, so they know it's going to perform. They know dynamically it's going to be spot on. It looks gorgeous, as you say, which was something that we wanted to set out, is to make something that's beautiful. But I think it's kind of got no excuses now. So we've taken away all of the issues around just around convenience and stuff like that. I'm going to make everybody jealous. And funny enough, I've got a customer who we've just been chatting on message, and I told him I'd had a car for a weekend. He said he's going to report me to the Heffel police for abuse because I'm winding him up because he can't get his car. But I did have I had one of the V6s for the weekend, and just things like, I know this is going to sound really silly, but Lotus owners will know what I mean here. The wipers, they work, they're quiet. They clear the windscreen. You wash your windscreen, you can see out of it and things like that. So that's one example. But everything...
But people don't know that. People that are putting the orders in, they don't know that the wipers work. Do you see what I mean? That's what I'm getting at.
No, I know. I don't know. I think there's a buzz about it. I mean, it's something new. It's getting great press as well. And I mean, we're not doing a huge amount to promote it. There's a lot of self-promotion going on amongst the owners' groups and things like that. So I think it's, the excuses are gone. I think also the price as well.
Yeah.
You know, I have one of the Lotus dealers said to me, he said, this is the first time I haven't had to discuss price when I'm talking to people about cars. They just want to buy it. So I think we've managed to hit the right product at the right price segment. It'll go, we'll start the press drives in the new year. Customers will be able to get in the cars, and then I think it'll go up another level when people are getting honest feedback, because the only guy that's driven it so far is Jensen that said anything about it, sort of thing. So.
Yeah, and he was enthusiastic as an understatement. Yeah. I mean, absolutely loved it. I mean, the thing I was wondering, because I was chatting to a friend of mine at the weekend who was quite badly hit with his business during the pandemic, and he took out a furlough loan. And I can't remember the amount, but it was about 25 grand. And he spent it on a car. You know, he used it as a deposit on a car. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if he wasn't alone in that. I wonder if there was quite a few people that were taking out these loans and going, actually, it's a very good repayment situation and la, 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 la. And it was, you know, roundabout when Amira was being kind of launched and so on. I wonder if that was part of it as well. People just kind of going, well, I've been able to kind of borrow this free money for a bit. I'm feeling confident. I love it. Let's put a down payment in.
Possibly. I think also there was pent up demand, you know, through 2019 and early part of 2020, and then the early part of this year. People weren't able to spend money, were they? They were able to go out, weren't able to go out, and it's things true. Like that. So
money no money. Holidays.
Yeah. No. So yeah. I think there's money around. So I mean, it's. And why not treat yourself to a new sports car to get over what's been going on for the last couple of years? Says the Lotus salesman.
It must be really, really exciting. Just going back a few steps on some of the things you were saying, like the car doing the European tour. We know that it's been driving around in the UK for the past few weeks, going to various hotspots where people have been seeing it. How does it feel when you're getting those orders in? I.e., like you say, the car's been in Belgium last night. Chances are the orders are going to start coming in now. That must be a really exciting feeling, and especially knowing that the press haven't driven the car yet. Mm. That's amazing. I mean, that's, I guess, the great thing about Lotus is it's always going to have a reputation for being a brilliant handling sports car. But the fact that there are no press articles from any journalist singing its praises and the orders are still flying in is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. I tend to not take the excitement out of it, which is, yeah. I suppose, is my job. I start trying to think about the practical sides of it,
sure.
of how we're going to make these cars quicker, how we're going to get them to the right areas of the markets, how, you know, I was in New York last weekend and doing the launch of the car over there, and we were just talking about the homologation, you know, how soon can we get the homologation into the US, we can get them cars and things like that. So we're just trying to push the boundaries on, because the demand's there.
Yeah,
so push the boundaries on what we can get out. However, the car needs to be right before it goes out as well. So we won't rush it if it isn't correct. Mm. So there's a balancing act. I mean, the finance guys would be like, yeah, go and wholesale everything you can. And we're like, we need to make sure this is right. So, but we're on track. Mm. We're sat in what is the new production deck at Hethel. So you can just walk out and see over the complete production line. We've been running portions of the production line at tack time, so our move up time for people who don't know what tack time is, our move up time for vehicles will be one every 17 minutes.
Wow.
So when this is this is flowing full speed in the latter half of next year, you'll be seeing a car pop out of the factory every 17 minutes. And we've been running bursts of portions of the factory running at those move up times already, even this far out from SOP, just that we're getting ready. The paint shop is now automatically painting.
Brilliant.
So it's in its wet trial phase, but somebody sent me a video of this car being sprayed. I got really quite excited, because that for Lotus is just such a step forward for where we were, and it will really add up to the quality of the product at the end of the day as well.
Amazing.
It's really interesting to hear from the boss, because we've established what a success it is before anyone's got it, before anyone's driven it, before anyone's got one on their driveway. And you'd sort of assume, from a boss's perspective, that's just happy days. Get yourself a cigar, sit back on the beach, job done. But actually, success brings almost as much stress as failure does, doesn't it? Because you have to now figure out how to do it to greater volumes than you're anticipating. Yet you still sit here, cool, calm and collected, completely chilled, like nothing's bothering you. But it's mad, isn't it? You've had to do so much additional thinking and preparation as a result of success.
Yeah, what people don't understand is, and don't get me wrong, I would much rather be sat here where we are than if we had 100 orders. We probably wouldn't be having this meeting. When you start on a car program, I mean, we've been working on this program now for over 3 years, probably closer to 4 years. When you kind of set out a design concept sheet to your suppliers, and you give them an indication of what the volume will be, and they design their capacity on that volume. So to then go back and go, actually, could you make us twice as many as we asked for the first time? Yeah. Is not easy, because they're not set up for it, and logistics are not set up for it, and the paint shop's not set up for it, and the AGVs we've got carrying the cars around and things like that. So all of those elements we have to go through and recut all of our facilities plans, our resource plans, our logistics plans there. But it's a nice problem to have, because the more cars we can get out there. So 22, we're going to make about the same amount, probably a little bit more than we were planning. But 23, we'll see a significant upload, about 41%. We're going to more cars than we were planning to make. We're going to make that'd be 23, 24, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital.
And with things like the, you mentioned the homologation of cars over to the US, does that require a production line in its own right, or not a separate production line, but its own process? Because I'm guessing with the homologation, what you mean by that is there are certain rules that you need to comply with for different markets. So do you end up waiting for the US line of cars to go through, or can you do US cars at the same time as European cars?
We probably won't. So, yeah. I mean, what you tend to do is the earlier cars you make to closer markets.
Gotcha.
Because you can get them out there quicker, yeah, for a start. But if I'm totally honest, if there's any issues that are found, they're closer to the factory to fix as well.
Perfect.
So, course, yeah. However, we're already doing, we've done 17 crash tests, I think. So we've already written off 17 Amiras. Sorry to say that, but
must be slightly gutting.
The crash program's going very well. We've already started the federal crash tests as well.
Do you watch them? Have you been and seen them?
I haven't been to see them. I've watched them in the past because, I mean, body engineering was my background. So yeah. I spent the, you know, it's always like, right, we're going to do this crash at 5 o'clock in the evening at Myra. It's always like 2-3 o'clock in the morning by the time they get it properly rigged up. And because if you're putting in, so we factor, for these cars, we factor at least 5 times the price. So, you know, what they're retailing at 75K. So, you know, you're talking 5 times that. It's a lot of money to put in the wall if you're not ready to record it properly, or you're not ready, you haven't got the right parts on it and stuff like that. So, but that's going really well. I'm actually going out in the production spec Dynamics cars this afternoon. Ooh. So, everybody knows Gav Kershaw.
Around here?
Around the roads, around the track here. So, everybody knows Gav Kershaw, who's our director of attributes. So, he dropped me a note this morning saying, I've got the production specs cars that I need to sign off today. Would you like to come? It's like, okay, let me just think about that for a nanosecond. Yes. What meetings do I have to cancel to get out there? So I will actually be driving the production spec cars.
That's today. Amazing. There'll be so many people, me included, listening to this going, yeah, but you're the big boss. Surely you get oversight on all of this stuff. But yeah, to have your chief development driver go, hey, look, come and have a go at this. This is cool. And
it's his job. You know, Gav's job is to protect the customer as far as attributes are concerned. Because there's always pressures. There's pressures from engineering, there's pressures from quality, there's pressures from manufacturing to try and maybe, not cut corners, not the right word, but maybe to modify what we're trying to achieve on attributes. Mm. We have Gav there as the voice of the customer. And if he drives it and he says it's not good. But this is how fast we're moving, because they gave me a car at the weekend. Which I wasn't happy about an element of it, so it was an early validation production car.
Was it the wipers?
No, it was. I was happy with the wipers. I wasn't happy with the road noise from the front wheels, okay. And so I came back and reported that. And then last night they got a car in front of me that they've done the NVH updates on it, and it was fine. So that's how quick we're moving, you know. So, as an attribute set, they're already working on where the car will go before we get to production. But it is quite nice to be. I think they do actually value my judgment a little bit. I don't know. Maybe beyond my back, they're going, idiot doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, the road noise is fine. I like it like that.
Turn the radio up.
Should be listening to Driven Chat. I mean, the thing is, though, Matt, I mean, you have to make so many decisions. I mean, roughly per week, how many tough decisions are you having to make? How many judgments are you just having to go, let's do this, let's do it that way, because we have to just decide.
Not that many. I mean, it's generally now, I mean, the exec's strong, the senior management team are strong. They try and sort it out before it gets to me, and they know what I like, they know what I'll say, they'll know, you know, after a year of working closely together, they know the stuff I'll push back on. So it's kind of like, don't bother bringing that to Matt, because if you haven't got a business case or you can't show where this is going, he's not even going to listen to it. So they know that, so they work through it beforehand. A lot of it is...
You've developed your reputation in-house then.
Yeah.
You've got the Godfather vibe.
Yeah, but that's the right thing, isn't it? You know, it's... You learn... They always say it's manage your manager, isn't it? Mm. So they know how to get me into a place where I don't have to get so grumpy with them, is one way of putting it, which I don't do that often, but sometimes you just have to. But all of the time I'm ramping up the pressure on them, you know, it's and they know that. They know that. It's but we've got so many elements going on. We're, you know, just like yesterday. So we issued the ball pack papers because we've got a ball back on the 30th of November, so we've been working on that for ages. We're talking about financing, we're talking about current production, we're talking about Amira testing, we're talking about... We had a guy here yesterday that was incredible. We work with the Norwich City Community Sports Foundation, so they're a charity that work on inclusion through sport. So they have severely disabled children playing sport or Down's, you know. So they've got a fantastic facility just around by Norwich Airport. So we donated an Elise to them for their charity.
Wow.
Which they auctioned, and they made over 100,000 for this Elise.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
But the guy who was here yesterday was... he bought one ticket for £9 and he won a final edition 240 Elise. And it was a brilliant day. I mean, there was... it was just... Delia Smith was here, Jake Humphrey was here. We got our friends from Radford here at the moment as well. So Jensen was around and was around. It was just like, this isn't a normal day at Lotus, honestly. But it kind of is.
His kid's going to be showing up every day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's expecting it's like Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's just famous people and fast cars.
Yeah,
I mean, so that should be the title of your autobiography, actually. Yeah. Famous people, fast cars, and Elon.
Yeah.
You know, just... Well, I guess he's famous as well, isn't he?
But. So, no, but there's so much going on, but the buzz around the place is fantastic, you know. The people understand what we're trying to achieve externally, but internally the staff really are on the journey. They've got fantastic facilities now. Back to your very early, you know, first question, we looked after them through the COVID process, paid them 100%, protected them, really looked after them. And I think, you know, we really are a company that values our staff now. We are one team. We call ourselves Us Lot.
I mean, that's what I've noticed. You know, I've been here a couple of times now since the launch and sort of just strolled around because you guys are very kind of brilliantly relaxed. Obviously, there's plenty of security, but, you know, there's lots of areas where you can just walk and just chat to people who are working on the production line or in design or wherever it might be. And I've found the people I've spoken to, just complete randoms from wherever they might be across the business, they're so thrilled with where Lotus is going and they're so proud to be here. There is a... I use the word family... because that's how it feels. You know, they genuinely seem to be, probably part of the location as well, because you're far from other manufacturers. It does feel like a family.
There's a lot of pride,
yeah.
I think, here. One of the things we noticed after the big podcast we did launching around the launch of the Amira was we actually had a lot of messages on our social feeds from your employees.
Really?
Which was really interesting.
That's good.
And I'm guessing it was shared internally on some sort of platform. But, yeah, we had a lot of messages on our social feeds just from people with... really showing such pride, saying, you know, thanks for coming down, thanks for doing the recording. I work in paint, or I work on production line, or I work in PR. And it was amazing just to see how many people were just like willing to step forward and go, yeah, I'm part of this. And it's really cool. And as you say, Andy, it's like a family, a really proud, inclusive family. It's fantastic to see.
And they've got me as their dad.
Yeah. I was going to say, that makes you the daddy. How does that feel? Matt, let's talk about your progression, because, you know, I used the magic word Elon just then, because, of course, you are a Lotus man through and through, bar a stint with Tesla. I think, if memory serves, at a time when it was very, very, very interesting to be at Tesla. I mean, it was when major decisions were being made. Like right now, the kind of Tesla machine is kind of... it almost runs on autopilot. You know, let's come up with a crazy thing. Let's throw a ball at a piece of glass as a stunt and so on. You know, those are the maverick moments. Generally, it seems to be just kind of the machine. But when you were there, it was building, wasn't it? It was becoming the monolith.
Yeah, Tesla was formed in 2003. So it's getting close to 20 years old now as a company. I joined in 2005.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant time, you know, and it was I never envisaged at that point that Tesla would be what it is now. I think Elon did, but and some other people did, but it was a really really interesting time, really interesting project. So a lot of it was done at Lotus as well. So they worked in partnership on the first Roadster, and that's how I became I got to be involved, because somebody I worked with here approached me about coming to work for him. And it was a was kind of, it was a weird working situation because we were kind of autonomous in the UK as well. The 8 hours difference between what we were doing here and then California. So we would have an overlap period of from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon here. But we were just left to deliver, make decisions and get on with it. And, you know, as I was saying earlier about the team that's here, that's what I'm trying to get here is if you trust people and you give them the direction, but you leave them to do the job, it works so much better because people really get so much more satisfaction out of what they're doing because they're not being told to go and do that. And I think that's a really important thing to do. But, yeah, Tezza at that time, I mean, we went through three logos, I think, in that stage. So for those who know their Tezza history, there was a couple of different logos then. And the Roadster came out. When did we get that?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's a market. Well, the Model S was 2010, wasn't it? I think the Roadster was 2008. Built it for 4 years, but built 2,500 of them. Spent quite a lot of time over in America as well. So I was travelling back and forth quite a lot. So
do you ever think about the Roadster being up in space? Just going round and round.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Always playing on loop.
Yeah, it's incredible. So
that's really, I mean, I love it, but it must be really, really odd to just go and think, yeah, something I've made is just in space. It's just out there.
Yeah. And it was a real atmosphere of getting stuff done. You know, it was a proper startup mentality as well. And Tezza really looked after us. We worked really hard in return, and you know, we got the vehicle to production. It was quite good in the end as well. Spent a lot of hours driving it around this track as well, which was quite nice. And since they've gone on from there, and it's incredible, isn't it, the story, really?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing is, one of the major things that has fallen in Elon's favour, as it were, is the adoption of electrification, and of course the changes that governments have made and so on. But back in 2005, the idea of an all-electric vehicle was ludicrous. Were you aware, you know, was that kind of your mindset while you were working on it as well? Kind of like, this is a gimmick, it's not really going to work? Or did you kind of think, this guy's a visionary?
I thought he was a visionary. I really did. Because, you know, very early on, he kind of said, you know, I want to change space travel. I want to change automotive. And you know, I want to do work for the environment and things like that. And he was saying that back then, and he's still saying it now, and he is still delivering on it. And he was a fantastic general to go into battle behind, if you know what I mean. You know, he really inspired the troops and gave us the vision and gave us the ability to deliver the vision. And I think hopefully people can see from what we're doing here is. I'm not Elon Musk, don't get me wrong, I'm not claiming to be, but that's the model I'm trying to do here, is just drive home the vision, get people to deliver, get used to delivery, and just delivering every little result that you're asked to do adds up. You know, it's not all about the... Obviously, I've got the bigger vision sat in my head, and some other people know about that, but it's just about everybody doing their bit every day adds up, and then you suddenly are all moving forward together as a team, and that's exactly what Tezza was like. It really was just... all together, all with a vision. It was difficult. I mean, you know, we had lots of ups and downs. You know, he's written about the body issues we had, and we had to move body supplies just before production. I was heavily involved in that because body engineering was my. Yes, we lost quite a bit of sleep over that, but we got there in the end, and it worked all right. So.
I like the idea that you've got a WhatsApp going on with him. Are you guys still in touch? Because
No.
That's a shame. Because you know now, I think it's you're competitors. You know, and with the Avaya, and obviously, we all know everyone has to have an electric future. So presumably, that's very much on your roadmap. I mean, it has to be, doesn't it? So, you are. It's kind of arm wrestling the old fella.
Yeah, you know? I think so. But he's ahead, isn't he? I mean, they've got the infrastructure, they've got the products, they've got the size of their business is incredible. But as we talked about this before, when we came up with our strategy back in 2017, when Julian Etiker took over here. Very straight away we said we've got to go electric, and at that time we were thinking environmentally, legislation, but where customer demand has gone, but customer demand now is just the speed towards electrification is scarily quick now. We actually feel a bit behind the curve, even though we've got Avaya's out there, which was a halo product. Type 132 will be out next year, which will be interesting to see the demand around that. And then by 26, 27, we'll be fully electric car company, which will be, we've got a lot of work to do to get there, but it is the right strategy. So I did say to someone the other day, I said, just when we've got our first electric sports car ready, I'm going to go out and tell the Daily Mail there's a petrol shortage again, see how it goes. Because you can't buy an electric car secondhand now.
That's it. There were all those conspiracy theories kicking around, which is there's no shortage. They're just making it up so that electric sales, you know, and everyone has to change. It's Dieselgate all over again. But I mean, Matt, you just sort of said, 26, 27, everything's going to be electric for you guys. How much is that in your day-to-day thoughts? How far ahead are you as the boss of this company? How far ahead are you thinking on a daily basis? Because your here and now is pretty full in terms of your plate of what you have to do anyway, isn't it?
All the time. So my job really is, to be the guy who drives the strategy and is looking ahead. And CFO was sat exactly where you are, Andy, this morning, and
he as hot as I am? Because I am burning up now.
Yeah, yes. We were talking about how we raise funds, where we raise funds for what we want to do, and how we're going to go around doing them. It was interesting. I kind of smirked a little bit when you said, "Oh yeah, you can walk around. You can't walk around the bits that you can."
I mean, outside, in your canteen, and everything.
I can tell you that the next sports car is. There's a couple of models down in the studio that I've seen, and I'm really quite excited about it. So we're always, at least 5 years ahead of today as far as writing business plans, finances, products, strategy.
And the future stays sporty. I'm kind of gleaning that because you said the next sports car. Mm. I'm just using your words.
Well, it's out there. It's Type 135, isn't it? So So Type 135. There is a full-size model down in the studio, and it looks good.
Andy, I'm just going to pop some glue. Just walk around,
John. It's very friendly here.
It looks good.
Wow.
It's very, very early, but I'm very happy with it. So.
It just seems like this is such a cool time to be boss of Lotus.
Mm. I've got an amazing job, haven't I?
Yeah.
How lucky am I?
Yeah. Just to point out for the listeners, the smile on Matt's face as he was describing the car, talking about the car there. I don't know about you, Andy, but to me, I feel like it's a very, very, very exciting car.
I mean, given what we've seen, the Amira, the Avaya, and so on.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you're saying it's cool, given how much we love them,
yeah,
then it's going to be really cool.
I've got to stop talking now. We've managed to shake off the PR police. There's no one here staring at me, making me feel uncomfortable. So,
I mean, this is it. You have a. We're sitting. We haven't really described the room other than the sunshine, which is now starting to kill John and I. A pair of us are melting slightly, but it's basically all glass, which is another reason why it's so hot. And behind me and where John is, you've got a one of those massive great conference tables with what looked like a lot of decision makers.
Yep.
some of them in high vis, some of them wearing face masks, obviously, and there's a lot of whiteboards with decisions being made. I've seen hand gestures kind of between them and you happening from time to time, people were popping in just before we started recording. So clearly, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff. I mean, how you're staying focused on us when over my shoulder, people are scribbling things on whiteboards that you understand that just looks like code to me. How you're staying focused when that's happening is another thing. Then across to the back of John, you've got, what, probably 200 people sat at desks doing things, many of whom have access to just come and check things with you. And then behind them is a massive piece of glass where the factory floor is. You have chosen to put yourself into the heart of it, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital.
It's as we kind of mentioned the two offices at the start, didn't we? Yeah. So we've got an exec suite that's over in the white building, as we call it, at Hethel. So where the exec sit. But this now, for the next 6 months, while we get a mirror into production, but also Avaya, which the factory's just over my shoulder around there, so it's a 5-minute walk from here. This is where the decisions need to be made, and it's we've done the majority of the engineering now. There's still the testing to go, but it's really important for the operations guys that they see they're supported. They see there's, you know, I don't want to be seen to be sat in an ivory tower over in over the other side of the factory. I want to be close to the action. And then the head of projects, the head of supply chain, the head of quality, the head of operations, we're all within this office environment that's here as well. So quick decisions. Once a week, we have we all get together and go through the status of all the programs, those senior execs. Sometimes it's right, we need five people to go and pick parts. Okay, take five people from me, I'll move them over. Or we need to hire somebody to do this. All right, you know, this tooling's overrun or this tooling's going to be late. And we're just moving the blocks around to try and get the best picture. But knowing it and being close to it, understanding it to a level of detail that allows you to make quick decisions is really important to me. And getting back to Elon, that's where he was as well. You know, he knew the engineering, he knew the manufacturing. I mean, when Model S started, he set up in the factory and sat on the factory floor, didn't he, for a year or so. Yeah. And you can't manage a business if you don't understand what's going on. And obviously, I haven't got the capacity to know everything that's going on, but the skill is picking the right things to focus on and not stressing the small things as well sometimes, because you can. There are times, and you sort of said about me sat here relaxed, there are times where I just hear something, and it, through experience, previously probably I would have reacted a bit, but now I just kind of think, I'll give them a day. They just needed to say something, but I'll give them a day, and then I'll go back the next day and just say, what happened with so-and-so? Oh, yeah, we found a fix. And you kind of get that, I suppose it's just intuition, really, of when you need to help, when you don't. And some of the senior guys I hardly talk to, so I have to push them to have a chat, whereas others I talk to every day because they need that. It's just management skills, knowing people, pulling levers, and hopefully the whole thing goes forward. But that is
a unique skill, though. You know, people are complicated. People have a whole world of challenges, never mind what their actual job is. You know, something that we've learned in the last 4 or 5 years and has been pronounced by, the pandemic and so on, is people have challenges in their lives. You know, there's a lot of people that carry darkness around, and that needs to be considered as well. You know, you've got to have your mind on everything. It's not just, are they doing their job well? It's also, are they okay? Is everything all right? And that, I think, is new, and it's great, by the way. I'm all for this, focused on mental health and so on approach that workplaces have now. But it's not something that you would have had to have thought about 10 years ago.
No, but it is really important, because I'm sure it was there 10 years ago that people were having problems. It's funny, isn't it?
That's a nice sound.
Yeah. We're getting interrupted by something on the track. That is a bit distracting. That so as a, you as yeah. you explained, my office, it is sat out looking over the, what's the south side of the track at Hethel. So every time something goes past, I get a little bit distracted. But the problems were there, and it's really important to recognise them, people's well-being. Again, I talked about us trying to look after the staff here. We've introduced mental health first aiders this year, which has gone down really well. We've been working on a wellbeing charter, you know, healthy choices, financial advice, exercise advice. I think I mentioned this before, but in the summer we open the track up on a Thursday night so people can run, walk, cycle, crawl, whatever they want to do. So it's a, you know, it's a fantastic facility. And we still actually, I was talking about the CFO earlier, Mark Farris, we've got a bet on at the moment that he reckons he can beat me on a lap round the track, him riding Chris Boardman's 108 bike, type 108, and me riding the new Olympic bike.
Oh.
So we've got to work out when that challenge goes down.
So, I love it. Yeah. How's his level of fitness?
Well, it doesn't match his level of confidence, I don't think, is where we're at. But it's 2.2 miles around here. So I think actually what we should do is we should probably try and do a charity effort around that and see how it goes. We need to get you down for that. So
I'd love to.
You can broadcast from the Lotus Olympics. Two old guys are puffing round.
Well, you know, we'll have to get some racing legends here as well. You know, we'll have to get Chris Borman and Chris Hoy down to kind of give you their assessment.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Yeah, thanks. I'd really like to be embarrassed even more. some bloke who, I always say I'm short for my weight, you know, so stuffed into Lycra is not going to be the pretty sight.
Let's do it. That'd be brilliant. But again, that's the sort of initiative, you know, there are certain, we've met a few, I'm not going to name names, but we've met a few bosses of rivals, and they'd never dream of doing that. Just the basic thing of being seen in Lycra by the people that work for them would horrify them. You know, they'd never do that because of the ripple effect and the gifts that will follow. Whereas you're all in. I love that. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, people who know me, I know I'm pretty down to earth. I came from an apprentice background. I've been humiliated in the factory. We're not allowed to do that now, obviously, but in the good old days. And, that survival instinct when you're working in operations, I suppose, is one way of putting it. And I definitely don't take myself too seriously. You can't. It's, you know, I'm a lucky guy sat in this seat at the moment, but it's the place, it's the business, that it's not about Matt Windor at all. And it's the people that make this place and the products, and that's the important thing.
And the products are fun sports cars.
Yeah.
So you can't be sat here pretending it's all completely serious. Obviously, there are some very, very big business decisions that need to be made, and a lot of it is quite sensible. But ultimately, you're making fun things, toys. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So this morning, this is a little shot into Matt Windle's life. So I do still do things like have to put the bin out and stuff, right? That's a blue joy.
What, here?
No.
I was going to say. That'd
be a big bin, wouldn't it?
Yeah. At home. And we live at the end of a drive, so the bin lorry comes down our drive. And there I was at 6:30 this morning. I could hear him coming and thinking, oh, I've forgotten the bin. She's going to kill me. So I've legged it out there and got the bin out. And because I had a mirror there, because I was driving this MVH mirror last night. And then I spent like 5 minutes having a chat with these guys about the car and stuff like that. And it's just, everybody's interested in the story.
Yeah.
So there I was at 6:30 this morning chatting to my lovely guys that come around and do our bins about a mirror. And it's, people love the story.
And do they know who you are at Lotus, or are you just an employee at Lotus?
I don't. So we had this conversation, we were at a party on Saturday, and my wife said to me, do you mind that I just say you work at Lotus when anybody asks? And I said, no, I say the same thing. So if anybody asks me, I just say, oh yeah, I just work at Lotus.
That's great.
And then if they ask what I do, then I'll tell them, but I don't generally go, yes, I'm the MD. Yeah, aren't I great? Yeah.
That is cool. Do you have I'm always fascinated because I realise, I've asked this to a few people now, and most people do, and I didn't, but I feel like I need one now. Do you have an alternative identity, an aeroplane identity? So where this came from is somebody told me a while ago, a famous person told me that they have a completely different ID for when they're sat next to someone on a flight.
Oh.
So when it's like, what do you do? They've got a whole backstory set. You know, they're a surgeon and they're this, that and the other, and they've saved lives and they've worked for, you know, various different Médecins Sans Frontières and all this kind of stuff. And I said, how do you get away with that? And he's literally like, well, if they don't recognise me, then I can kind of get away with anything.
So I'm guessing this was a famous person.
It was a famous person. But I've asked non-famous people as well if they have effectively separate lives. You know, this flight identity. So who is Matt Windle's on the plane ID? You're sat next to a random stranger who's, you know, you've got 8 hours together. Hey, who are you? What do you do?
Wrestler, I think. So I'm flying to Los Angeles tomorrow. So I will use that time to think about my alternative ID, and I'll come back to you on that.
I guess it depends who you're going to be sat next to, doesn't it? If it's somebody that you really don't want to talk to, then yeah, you would say cage fighter or wrestler, and then in the hope they'd go, okay, I'm just going to keep myself to myself.
Yeah, I'm actually just out of prison. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know what I'll go. Are you one of the midgets they shoot out the cannons? Yes.
No, have a think about it. Let me know what you come up with, because I hadn't realised how many people have a go-to separate life. And it seems to be about 50% of the people I ask are immediately like, yeah, I say this, this and this.
So you're famous, so what's yours?
Wrestler, apparently. Oh, we need to figure that one out. You have to go, don't you? You've given us, what time is it? Oh, God, yeah, you've given us loads of your time. You've got business meetings to have. Very quickly, tomorrow you go to LA. What's next for you and Lotus that you're allowed to share? Because I realise there's embargoes and top secret things and John stumbling to try and find 135 and won't. Yeah. What can you tell us about the next short term?
So the real focus for us now is to get Amira and Avaya into production, which will be early next year. So we're on track for that. We've got the GT4 coming. That will be great. I'm looking forward to that. This is another thing. I've just been and done my track license, so I'm quite excited about
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Of course. Yeah. So whether I'll get to drive the GT4, I don't think. But back to Gav, I need him to give me a few lessons. That'd be great.
Well, that's the follow-up to your bike race.
Yeah.
You have the bike race followed straight into GT4 several laps in the GT4 against each other.
That would be good.
Yeah, level the playing field.
Yeah, that'd be good. Type 132. Is imminent. So we've been doing some teases on that this week, which will culminate Friday. What day is it today? Wednesday.
Yeah.
We'll culminate in 2 days' time ahead of the Guangzhou Auto Show that's going on over in China. So then we'll lead into that the first part of next year. But ongoing planning is carry on with site developments here. Think about the future projects, future sports cars, get that underway. We've got some interesting partnerships that we've done through Lotus Engineering as well, which we will probably be announcing early in the new year. So it's not just what we're doing here. We're doing projects with partners. So we've signed a deal that we can announce early next year, and then we've got another one that's ongoing. Future developments, so we're developing our site in Wellsbourne in the Midlands. We've now got battery tested in there, HV training, so we've been over there quite a bit developing that site. And then, yeah, the road to electrification, really. So got some interesting projects on around really highly efficient, power-dense EDUs, so the electric drive units. We're looking about what to do with batteries, what cells to use and things like that. So it's all, there'll be a little Lotus DNA element to what we do going forward, just saving the weight. I've put it out there that the weight of Type 135, which will be a slightly bigger car than Amira, has to be the same as Amira, even with battery technology and stuff in that. Wow. So the guys at the moment are running around materials, technologies, joining technologies, as I say, small, dense, power-dense parts in the cars and stuff like that. So we're starting to work on that, really.
Very cool. I get the sense there's a massive, massive future ahead, and it's going to be very exciting and quite fast.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's you know, you guys need to keep coming along and being, you're part of the story now.
Yeah,
and
love it.
Yeah, just I'd be more than happy for you to come along, and we'll talk about the progress. Obviously, we'll do the bike race at some stage as well. Faris, I'm coming for you. Yeah, it's just so much going on, and it's wonderful. I mean, the Amira drives will be in the first quarter of next year as well. So that's, I think it will be all right. I've driven the cars. I think they're good, but you never know. And we'll have the press driving the cars. We'll have people here, can see the facility, see what we're doing. And hopefully that goes down well. And then we sell loads that I've got such a problem that we have to make them.
Bring it on. Happy days. Hey, thanks for letting us come back. No really problems. Appreciate it.
Lovely to speak to you again.
Happy days.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Oh, wow. You've made it to the end. The very end. And it's John Markar here again, reminding you that this podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now run its course and has come to an end. To find the new format, search the Driven podcast in your preferred podcast app or head on over to the website driven.site to find some quick and easy links through to the new episodes in the new formats on your preferred apps. Thanks. Bye.